arrive.
Wahoo! How is everybody this morning? Awesome. Just good? Not great or amazing or blessed or awesome? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for this month where we celebrate you a little extra than we do the rest of the year. We celebrate your birth, even though you probably came in April. We picked this month to celebrate it. And I thank you for coming so that we could get to know you more personally, that this word would be even more alive than it already was, that we can get to know you and get to love you and have that relationship with you that you desire. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hi, Gabby. I'm going to be reading in Matthew 7 today. Oh. All right. Matthew 7. Do not judge. That doesn't sound like anything like Christmas, but anyway. Do not judge that ye may not be judged, for whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured again to you. But why do you look to the twig that is in the eye of your brother? Do you not see the log that is in your eye? Or how will you say to your brother, allow me to cast out this twig from your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first cast out the log out of thine own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast the twig out of your brother's eye. Right now, our country is in turmoil. That pretty much has been since February or March, even probably the last 4 years. But I mean, right now, it's at the most prevalent thing would be this disease that's ever present in our lives. There, people are reacting lots of different ways. There are people who are fearful. There are people who say, "Ah, it's a hoax. Don't worry about it." There are people who are using this for their own gain, and not good people. There are people that are taking advantage of people's fears, but we don't get to judge those folks because it's not for us to do. You know, we ask ourselves, God, how are we to react in our daily lives? There's a fine line between giving in to the fear and to the belief, and then rebellion, which is putting others at risk. So you can't know, well, is this man lying? Is this man lying? Because there's people on both sides. This guy says, everybody's, you know, all the doctors are lying. And this guy says, all the people don't know what they're talking about. And so you can't know, because, I mean, how can you know who's telling the truth? So, we are God's children, and we are in His hand. And so we have nothing to fear, not even death, but we are to be an example. So, and that's tough, because I hate the mask thing. I think it's ridiculous. sometimes I wear one, most of the time I don't. I try to let the Holy Spirit guide me, because you pray about it, and you pray about it, and God, do I need to do this? And, you know, the Bible tells us that things of this world can't come against us because we're His. So, but then you have to be mindful of other people's, you know, fears. You know, you don't want to flaunt it in somebody else's face who's terrified. You want to show love to them. You know, you can put on a mask so that they don't, you know, run away. So it does feel good walking around maskless. I was in a store the other day, and I saw a fellow, and I thought, that guy looks odd. And then I realized, oh, he's not wearing a mask either, because, you know, everybody wears them everywhere. So this is a problem we face on so many levels. Is it a man-made attack? Are the numbers real? Can you catch it easily, as some suggest? Is the CDC actually on our side, or are they not? You know, it's difficult right now to judge, not to judge others. I, you know, I've gone through the gamut of that, of going, you know, these people are, you know, fraidy cats, or, you know, these people are fear mongers, or these people are just overbearing, or these people are trying to steal my freedoms, you know, or are the doctors right? You know, I've gone through all of that, you know, and so my mind, let's see, it's been a tough time. And so really what you come down to is that's all my flesh just coming out. So, because sometimes it may be true, all of it may be true, but I may have the gift of discernment to know that these people are sheep, but I don't really think so. I think this chapter was very convicting to me. I mean, it starts off to do not judge. So immediately you have to go, all right, Father, I can't. You're right. I need to stop thinking about them and just focus on you. Why do I need to put energy into what other people do? The devil will say, if you don't do something about it, you'll be slaves. Your freedom will be lost. They're all fools. But these are fear and lies from the devil. I don't doubt the enemy could do that. I don't doubt that I could change a mind or two if I get on Facebook and speak my mind. But then again, am I hurting my witness to get on and tell people down? So if you are following me on Facebook at this moment, you probably have seen that I should have been holding my tongue more than I am. I know that I'm brilliant and I can fix the world off from my screen of my phone. The problem is this, I didn't ask God, what am I to do? What am I to say? What am I to write? What am I to think? When you take all that and you take out all the emotions and the fear out of the equation, it's just, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to help these people? You don't have to help the people. You don't have to fix the people. You don't have to show them the glaring truth according to David. If you are only looking at God and listening to God, you won't be able to judge others because your eyes will be where they should be. The words coming from you won't be a reaction. They will be constructive and uplifting. They won't be your words and thoughts about the situation or the person. They will be God's design to bless and encourage others. Mary's tired of me talking about this, but I still believe President Trump will be president again. and I believe when he becomes president, I know I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of violence. But this is my human understanding, and that in as far as I can see, as a human can see, I know God told me from the beginning of this year, he said, be ready. And I didn't know what that meant. He just said, be ready. Like it was something, it was going to be pretty monumental that was going to happen. I don't think it was the virus. I think it was more spiritual, a spiritual battle, more like an upheaval. He didn't say prepare, he just said be ready. So, and I think God is the preparer, and I rest in his shadow. I've spent a lot of time this year looking at the world and trying to fix whatever is coming instead of just relaxing in his presence. Remember, the wise virgins were ready, but they were at rest. You know, I never thought about that before. They weren't, you know, they were there waiting for the bridegroom, and they were just resting. They weren't running around trying to figure things out, trying to solve problems. So before you start casting twigs, next time remember God is working on you and them, and they are in the fold as well. So you don't have time for twigs when you're watching God's working on your log. So I know when someone comes to fix something in my house, I love to watch and learn. We should be that way with God. We have no idea how he's going to remove that log, but we should just sit back and watch him as he fixes that log and takes it away. I drive a lot for work, and I usually listen to music, but lately I've been getting a lot of notifications from a podcast called Unlearn the Lies. I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but there's a guy, and he's very... I'd listened to it a while back, and I thought, yeah, that guy's missing something. And then I listened to it again, I thought, yeah, that guy's really missing something. He's very, very legalistic. Let's see, I think I'm... I was going to read on. Give me a second. Oh, no, we're still going. So it's about his podcast is about dispelling the falsehoods of Christianity. I mean, he's a Christian. He follows the letter of the law, you know, with no mercy. I listened to the guy talk, and one guy said, "I know I don't believe in Christmas, but I still want to give my family presents." And the guy was like, "Well, you can't give your family presents because that's still celebrating Christmas." And I'm like, "Wow, you are totally missing the point. It's not about gifts and Christmas. It's about Jesus, and Jesus was the gift, and it's just a representation of the gift." And you know, I mean, the devil likes to take holy things and pervert them, and then other Christians will say, "Well, see, that's perverted. We can't use that." But you know, God created everything to start with, so you know, to heck with the devil. So, I remembered when I started listening to the man speak. Okay, so the man was talking about being good, and I did try my best not to judge him, but I was judging him. Hallelujah. As I listened, God gave me this word. How can you tell or expect someone to be good when the Bible clearly states there is none good but God? The problem with the church today is they teach performance. Be good, do good. God is not interested in performance. He is interested in relationship. God says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." The Bible says, "I will complete the good work that I began in you." The Bible says, "I am in you to will and to do." It doesn't say anything about you doing it. It says God does it through us. God is our strength. The scripture says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But I like to say, "I can do all things through Christ who is my strength." You can never do a good work until you realize that you are not doing the good work. It is Christ in you doing the good work. When you are in him, when you are part of him, I should have fixed that typo. I have no idea what I was trying to say. We're a vessel. So, and the thing about that is, the thing about being a vessel is there's no burden. You're just there, and you're letting God do everything through you. You're letting God use you. And that's freedom. That's not a burden. I don't know where this statement came from. It just kind of popped into my head. It says, if it is a burden to be a Christian, you are not Christianing right. So never. If you find Christianity being burdensome, just stop and take a look. You know, you're missing the point. Verse 6 says, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor throw to your pearls before the pigs, that they should not trample them with their feet, and turning they may tear you." So it's so funny. I know exactly what this verse means, but every time I try to explain it, it just never comes out right. I'm like, anyway. So here goes. Here's my explanation. This verse is an odd one to explain, but when I cast my pearls, I know it, and I think of the scripture. I go, that's what that scripture means. I shouldn't have done that, you know. So the Bible says we are holy and righteous. And when Jesus went before the Sanhedrin, he didn't defend himself in the traditional manner. He did not give away his gifts. We have gifts that God gives us, and we are to use them for the kingdom. God is our advocate. We do not have to defend ourselves. We say what God says through us and not what our brilliant minds concoct. We have an idea of what is right and what is wrong, but we really can't even grasp what is right and what is wrong from God's perspective. God can use someone who is evil, and we don't know their heart. We can't judge God's purpose. It all boils down to being in a relationship with God who leads us to a complete trust in him and a willingness and a desire to speak only what he speaks, knowing it will be truth and wisdom, holding our tongue for using our own finite wisdom. Again, I use the word freedom because God takes away that burden. When you're leaning completely on him, there's no burden. It's just freedom. There is infinite rest in his presence. We are his mouthpiece. I'm going to go on to verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given to you, and seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For each one that asks receives, and the one that seeks finds, and the one that is knocking, it will be opened. Or what man of you is there, if the son ask for a loaf of him, would he give him a stone? And if he ask for a fish, will he give him a snake? And then you being evil, knowing a good gift, to your giving good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I've realized in my life that we don't expect enough of God. And, I mean, he's God. He created everything. But I know that I pretty much expect when I get to heaven, God's going to say, you barely touched on all that I could have done through you. And you know, that would be a blow. But I hope not, and there's still time. So God, I'm not dead yet, so God can still do plenty through me. But up to this point in my life, I know I could have done more. That is the problem that I said. Again, he is the author and the finisher, and he is my willer and my doer. And so it is his burden if I underperform. So we don't have to worry about it. When we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about that. When I first walked through stores without a mask, I felt very self-conscious and almost ashamed. And now that I've done it more, with what God gave me, now I walk confidently and boldly, not cocky and with malice, because I know that people are fearful, saying that whether this is right or you should follow suit. I'm not saying that this, you know, that you guys should go without masks. I mean, that's just my own personal thing. Just saying that, understanding the feeling of confidence, it's true. I mean, like, when I did originally walk through stores, I would kind of walk with my head down and kind of look around and see if people are giving me dirty looks. Now I walk in. It kind of went through a progression. I walked in with a mask, and then I walked in with under my nose, and then I walked, you know, the next time it'd be under my chin, and the next time it'd be in my back pocket. And now I just don't even take one in the store. I walked into a store the other day, and like, do you have a mask? I said, no. And they said, well, can I get you one? I was like, no. I think people know that a lot of people have had it, so they're done with them. Let's see. Not saying that whether it is right or if you should follow suit, just saying, understanding the feeling of confidence when I get to, that's the same feeling of confidence I'll get to when I get to heaven. I can just walk in and I don't have to wonder if I did enough, of what God could have done through me, because it was God's doing it. If I didn't do enough, it was God's fault. I know he will say, well done and good and faithful servant. And that being said, I can go boldly into the throne room of God, because we are his children and we can ask of his good pleasure. I love to give Gabby the desires of her heart, but sometimes in my wisdom, I don't give her all her requests. And that's just like God. That doesn't mean that she stops asking, and she doesn't stop asking. She is persistent, and I love that. We should always expect to receive what we ask from God. It may come in a way you don't expect, and it may come in a time that you didn't expect. A lot of expecting. You guys know we waited 16 years for Gabby, and I never doubted God would give us a child. She came at the right time, and God's tithing is never wrong. And it's true. I know, I mean, God promised us a child, and then, you know, 10 years into it, I had a dream, and so then I was dead on certain that we were going to have a child. And the fact that in the dream she had blonde hair, and in real life she has blonde hair, is, you know, more proof positive that, you know, God gives you words and you can stand on them. Verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever you desire that men should do to you, so you should also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, the man has turned that into the golden rule, do unto others. So the world, and this is something that I've learned this year, and it's kind of, I don't know how I hadn't realized it before, but it's kind of an epiphany that the world does not play by our rules, and we expect them to, and when they don't, we're like, well, they're cheating. Don't you see they're cheating? They're cheating. But that's their rules. Their rules are cheat to win. And that's their rules, and it doesn't mean anything to them. They're like, ah, I'm winning. Winning is their rule, not Whether how they get there, it doesn't matter. And we're like, you can't play by those rules. The rules are, play by the rules. And they're like, whatever. We won. So the church says that all, there's this, the world does not play by our rules, but that does not mean we should play by theirs, which is true. I think I've said this before. In this kind of going off topic, but it made me think. For a long time, I thought in business that I had to be, to do right, and God would bless me. And then one day I realized that I could do wrong, and God would still bless me. And the awesome thing is I can just do right because God is in me doing right, and I don't have to have that fear on me that if I don't do right, God's not going to bless my business. You know, I could just know that however I screw up or however I do great, God's just going to bless me. So we know God will always bless us. Our cup will always overflow. When you know this and you have faith in this, it is easy to do unto others, even if they have not returned it. I was out putting up lights, and I overheard two fellows talking about a tool that they had left behind and how were they going to be able to finish their job properly. And I know God had me overhear this conversation because I had that tool that they could use. And without hesitation, I just lent them my tool. I knew I may not get it back, but that wasn't me. That was Christ in me. I can lend that tool because I know whether good or bad is returned, God has me covered. I can relax in his shadow knowing that I can't be hurt. Wahoo! So it is true. You know, I mean, if you lend something out, when I lend things out, I would like to get them back, but I don't always expect them to get them back, and sometimes I don't get them back in one piece. But, you know, hallelujah. God loves me, and he's my provider. So I'm going to go on to verse 13. Go in through the narrow gate, for the wide gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to death. And many are the ones who go through it. For narrow is the gate, and constricted is the way that leads unto life. And few are the ones who find it. But beware of the false... Whoa. No, I'm stopping right there. Sorry. This verse... I don't know why the first thing that popped in my head when I read this verse was I thought about the Unitarian Church. Because they say, all roads lead to heaven. And I always think that's so funny. I'm like, you kind of missed the point. So, okay. Whichever you choose... Yeah, they say all roads lead to heaven, and whichever road you choose is fine. You'll get there. So the church and the world kind of are trying to make provision. That church and the world are trying to make provision for sin, even though they pretend to not even believe in sin. If enough people say it is right, if we make laws saying it is right, then we can justify our sins, and there is no longer sin. Abortion is one of those things. The law says it's fine, so it's justified and no longer a sin. The Bible says murder is murder. There is no justification for it. The Bible explicitly calls homosexuality a sin. I had a fellow tell me that if Jesus were on earth today in the modern times, he would see it differently. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, it was funny that my first night teaching the young adults, that was one of their first questions. Is they're like, "What? How do we homosexuals in a category, you know, I mean, how do we as Christians deal with that?" And I said, you love the sinner, not the sin. I said, that person is not their sin. The person is a person. The person has a soul and they are not their sin. You know, God can separate that. So you don't justify their sin, but that doesn't mean you don't love them. You show them love, you know, and that's the same way with every sin. You know, people sin, but you still love them. We sin. God loves us, and we love each other. God's ultimate love is he never changes. So when he said that, you know, God today would be different, you know, the ultimate love of God is that he never changes. We can count on his word for forever being true. If God were capricious like the gods that man made up, where we could have no faith in him. I mean, that would be terrifying to think that that God would say one thing and one day he would, next day he would just change his mind. Well, the rules are different today. But they're not. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means, you know, he loves us. And he said he loves us, and he loves us in our sin. And so he loves the Christians, and he loves the homosexuals, and he loves Black Lives Matter, and he loves the Democrats, and he loves the Republicans. He loves all of us. When God says he will never leave us or forsake us, and we can stand on that promise like an unmovable rock. Let's see, verse 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they are plundering wolves. From their fruits you shall know them. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from the thistles? So every good tree produces good fruits, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut out and is thrown into the fire. Yahoo! And then surely from their fruits, not judging, they shall know them. I don't know why this kind of popped into my head. Mary and I used to watch Lord of the Rings a lot, and we read the books and everything, and there was a line in there that Frodo said when they asked him why he trusted Aragorn. So these are two of the main characters, and he said, I think a servant of the enemy would look fairer and feel fouler. And I see that today because the enemy tries to put on this appearance of nice and wonderful and sweet and just. But when you see their actions, you go, well, you're saying this and you're doing this. So remember, the devil was a beautiful angel. He was the angel of light, but in fact, he is now the father of lies. It is funny that the devil's second lie was that you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. It was not meant for us to know because we are not God, but we still don't know the difference. So that was a lie. The devil told us, you'll know the difference between good and evil, but we don't. And his first lie was, you should surely not die. And yet, we die one day. So, the devil is a liar. The world and the false church is always trying to move the goalpost of be perfect as I am perfect. They are constantly making laws and justifications so that they can sin and not feel bad about it. But the problem is God never said feel bad about your sin. So they missed that whole point. And that's the church's fault, because the church has said, you need to feel bad about your sin. You shouldn't sin. That's bad. And what the church should have been saying is, God loves you. Come on in. Join the family. We'd love to show you his love and mercy and tender kindness, and he will work out that sin and it won't even be an issue anymore. They use what would seem like truth to trick those that are not grounded in the word. They look innocent and what they say seems good, but truly they are wolves. Black Lives Matter is a fabulous example. Who would not agree with such a statement? I mean, that's awesome. That's a great statement. I would agree that Black Lives Matter. That's a powerful statement. But then if you read who they are, you see that they're not about Black Lives at all. They're Marxist, and they're just interested in power, and they use that statement to fool people and to get them on their side. And then they strip them of all their freedoms, and then they're in power, and try not to judge. Makes me furious. Their true desire is power, and not even for the black people, but they just want power for themselves. They use guilt to coerce people into giving away their dignity and their freedom for what would seem to be a righteous cause. The devil often uses what would seem righteous for nefarious purposes. Planned Parenthood. Boy, that sounds good. Women's health and planning for parenthood. Only, as we know it, it has nothing to do with parenthood. Pro-choice sounds so altruistic. You know, I mean, we're helping women to choose, but, you know, they're choosing selfishness. They're not choosing life. So Antifa would be anti-fascist, only they're nothing but. They're completely fascist. The world uses the morality of men to enslave them. God is our compass. He defines what is right and wrong. Even the church can lead people astray. All roads lead to heaven, remember? You can work for your sins or for your dearly departed ones by being good. This is the false church. Saints can advocate with the Father for you. Mary always asks me why I have such a problem with the Catholic Church, and that's the biggest one, that they say that saints can advocate, and so the people pray to saints and to Mary instead of God. I mean, when you can go directly to the Father, why would you go to someone who's dead and can't even hear you? These all stem from humanism, man at his best, the engine that could. I am the engine that could not. I am the engine that did not and have not, because he did it for me. What a boon. We have the only, if you can call it a religion, the only one where God does it all and we get all the blessing. He daily loads us with benefits. The Bible says the verse says that their fruits will show their true colors, and this is true. They say nice but produce hatred and violence, exclusivity and bondage. We are to be bond only to God. This can seem enticing, even a fight against the wicked and the oppressed. Really, that is the devil's distraction for God's true desire, and that's relationship. Like I said, this year I've spent so much time just fighting against the current instead of just relaxing in God's presence, because God already has it all worked out, and I don't have to burden myself with the world, because we've already won. So Peter walked on water until he looked at the waves. And we can walk on water if our eyes are on the Father. We can run through a troop, and we can leap over a wall. Verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many works of power? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Or as the King James says, iniquity. The truth is, we should pray for our enemies to have their eyes open and come to God. God's desire is that everyone would make it to heaven. We are not truly enemies. We see enemies as enemies. We see them as people that are destructive and evil, but really, we are brothers and sisters. The only true enemy is Satan. We are all sons and daughters of Noah. You remember Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So we all come from the same family. People can do some pretty wicked things. Our human reaction is for God to strike them dead. And I've said that. God just... the other day, I think I said, I found out something had happened to one of my nieces. Some guy stole something from her. And I said, God, just let that man fall in a ditch and break his leg. You know, I mean, you get so angry. You know, and you think, man, was that righteous indignation? Or was that just me being judgeful? But remember verse 1, judge not, lest ye be judged. If it weren't for God rescuing us, we would be just as likely to be that vile. It is hard for me to believe that I could be that wicked, but I have Christ in me, and that has changed my heart, and so that's why I have a hard time seeing it. I can't see it because God is making me a new man. And it's like, how could someone do that? It's because God is in me, and my flesh is losing, and my spirit is winning. So I should have compassion instead of disdain. That doesn't mean you condone their actions. It just means you know God loves every sinner, and so should we. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Some churches have gone off the narrow path. They fall into the trap of love means condoning. I had a fellow say to me just recently, well, since you're a Christian, you should be a socialist. To which I replied, government and religion are two different things. Christianity is voluntary. Socialism is compulsory. I don't want to be told I have to be nice. I just want to choose to be nice because God in me is being nice. As a Christian, I have the freedom to bless someone as God leads. The Bible says if a man asks for your coat, give him your cloak. But it also says if you don't work, you don't eat. I encounter homeless several times a week. Sometimes I give them money, sometimes I give them food, and sometimes I don't give them anything at all. I ask God, and He tells me what I should do. I don't use my own wisdom. Not everyone is getting into heaven. Another of God's gifts is free will to love Him or to not love Him. God is not going to force you into a relationship with Him. Verse 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words from me and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. This next verse is the whole reason I was reading chapter 7. And the rains came down, and the waters came up, and the winds blew and fell against the house. But it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and who does not them, he shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon sand. And the rain came down, and the rivers came up, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it happens when Jesus had finished. Had finished these sayings. The crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. When we build our house upon the rock, the cornerstone, we cannot be moved. I have the boldness of lions, knowing that if God is not done with me, the world cannot do me any harm. If God tells me to do something, nothing can stop me. He has prepared the way, not persecution, not even death. He could raise me from the dead. This world is an upheaval, but we are planted firmly on the rock. The enemy can seem to be winning, but God is always in control, and nothing can knock us down. I'm going to read Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, 10,000 or at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon thee. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, if you get anything out of today, it's that, not that we shouldn't judge, even though we shouldn't judge, it's that there's no need to judge, because our cup runneth over. God gives us everything. He protects us. He's provided everything. He's set up our path in life, and we don't have to fear man. We don't have to hate man. We can love them. We can pray for them, because God's desire is for them to know Him. And even though they can do some wicked things, that's just sin, and sin is not the person. And we can love that person. I think when the media said that Biden won, I think my thing was not that God wouldn't bless me, that it just, I was like, God, I'm not ready for it to be hard again. It was hard for the previous 8 years before the Trump. I'm not ready for it to be hard again. But, you know, I had peace. And God just said, don't worry about it. Everything's under control. You know, every time, He always reminds me that every time the Israelites went into captivity, they were blessed. They flourished. I always think it's funny. Mary's folks took us to Italy, and I remember we were walking through the Jewish quarter, and I remember the funniest thing the tour guide said, well, these people were all in the Jewish quarter, and they were held in captivity, and they were only allowed to have three jobs. They could be bankers, lawyers, or doctors. And I thought, how is that a bad thing? So that's just God's sense of humor. You know, the enemy can be all around us, but we are under his, and under the shadow of the Almighty. So we don't have to fear man. We don't have to be angry at man. We can just love him because we know we've already won. I mean, that's just, when you know you've already won, then you're not worried about the world. It's totally inconsequential, and you can bless them without any hesitation. So, Father, thank you for today, and I pray that this word goes into the hearts of everyone here, and that they are able to have freedom and peace and joy and cast their burdens away and let you take them, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.